Welcome to the official SBGAN podcast, hosted by Dr. Alex Nicely.
Hey, folks. Welcome back. With me today is someone whom I haven't met before. She says it's not yet Dr. Ziglbone, Rotem Ziglbone, but she's only a year away from finishing her PhD. So just to get it out of the way, what is the title of the thesis that you haven't written?
First of all, what I'm trying to investigate during the last 12 years, actually, is the role of diet in IBD. And specifically, we developed a diet named the Crohn's Disease Exclusion Diet. And I'm trying to identify the factors that are behind and how we can improve the diet. And this is the main course of my
thesis. I think that's wonderful, but what's the title?
The title, the Crohn's Disease Exclusion Diet, a journey to understand from the beginning to the end.
Okay. Yeah. From, as the Romans used to say, from the apples, which were the first course, to the eggs, the last course.
Yes.
Okay, I think I remember that right. Crohn's Disease Exclusion Diet plus partial enteral nutrition induces sustained remission in a randomized controlled trial. This appeared in Gastroenterology a few years back. You were one of the participants in collecting the data, analyzing the data, formulating the manuscript. Now at Wolfson Medical Center, where you continue to work, and at the University of Amsterdam, where your PhD project is being supervised. I think this is an amazing accomplishment. To be able to say we can help these kids by eating differently, by feeding them differently. Tell us about the partial enteral nutrition approach and how you decided what parts to include and what parts to exclude among the foods that have been, until now, giving these kids problems.
First of all, thank you very much for being here. And it's an honor for me to explain what we did in our studies. The pivotal study that you just mentioned is one of a series of several studies that we already published. And when we developed the diet, we assumed that exclusive enteral nutrition, we understand that it works well, but it's very difficult to perform and to maintain for the long term. And we try to find how we can improve the tolerability and how patients can follow this diet therapy.
No, beautiful, beautiful. My question is, it's difficult to maintain in the long term. It works well, but it's a tough road to walk. And my question now is, how long does it take with this entire pure enteral nutrition to achieve results? Months?
No.
Not so long as that.
Not so long. Very
quick. But it's just tough to adhere to. Okay.
It's tough to adhere to, but exclusive enteral nutrition works well in days.
In days?
In
wow.
Days. After 1 week, patients will report that they are feeling much better. We can see, and we showed in one of our studies, that after 3 weeks, almost 80% achieved already response, clinical response, and improvement in CRP levels. So we can see that it works well. And what we found with our diet, that when we developed it, we tried to find a diet that will be with the same efficacy as exclusive enteral nutrition, but much more tolerable for
patients, much easier to follow.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And another thing that we found with exclusive enteral nutrition is that we don't have a strategy, an exit strategy. We don't know what to tell patients to follow after. So we assume that if we will develop a diet for the long term, which we truly believe that diet plays an important role in each stage of patients' life with a disease, so we assume that we will develop a diet which will prolong the time that we want them to follow. So the Crohn's Disease Exclusion Diet contains several three phases to help them to maintain over time, when assuming and understanding that diet is part of our life and we want them to still have high quality of life and not be restrictive for the rest of their life.
So you bring them onto this diet, and then there's a maintenance phase, And then there's a, but there's no withdrawal phase.
It's not a withdrawal. The idea is to educate them for life. We believe that diet plays an important role, and we need to educate our patients to eat better and to eat healthy food. But in the end of the day, it's a matter of balance. We want them to consume a balanced diet. Mm-hmm. And when they're in clinical remission and they're okay and managing their disease well, they can balance and they can go to eat outside and they can eat things that are not part of the diet or part of even healthy diet. But as long as their basic diet is okay and keeping the principles of healthy diet, we can say Mediterranean diet approach, then it will be easier for them to manage the disease well.
This sounds like a wonderful advance. And are you proud?
I'm very proud.
I think you should
I'm
be.
I'm very
I
proud.
I think you should be, absolutely.
I have to say that I'm excited. I'm getting excited every time that I'm sitting with every patient that I have and for just changing their diet and help them to control their disease. And it's much more than that, because we are trying to identify patient who will respond to this treatment. And if they are dietary responsive, I really truly believe that I'm giving them a present for life, because I'm giving them a tool to try to control a disease that it's uncontrolled. And by excluding few things from the diet, which again, it's not easy at all. Any dietary manipulation, it's not easy at all. And I'm coming with a lot of respect to them when they're able to follow a restrictive diet. But if I'm giving them a tool to control their disease for the rest of their life, and every time, even if they go back to eat normal diet and they with medications and during the later stage of the disease, if something occurred and the calprotectin levels went back up or they have some flare, they can go back to a 4 weeks, 5 weeks of restricted diet and continue with their life. And we see the result now of this approach, that when patients are dietary responsive from the beginning, we can use it during the rest of their life. So I truly believe that it's a kind of a present that I'm giving my patients, and I'm so exciting every time that it happens.
You're so right. Now, we had in this podcast series, we had or have included an interview with Dr. Asa, your co-worker. And Dr. Asa spoke about the use of drugs in particular, but he didn't speak to the interface between dietary therapy and choice of drugs. Can you give us a suggestion as to how you at the Wolfson integrate dietary management with the initiation of a pharmacologic therapy?
Of course, this is a great question. And now we have also some evidence to explain what is the interface between those two approaches. I have to say that I believe that diet plays an important role through all the lifetime with the disease. Mm-hmm. And even if patients are on medication, there is still a role. Now, what we found in one of our cohorts, case serials that we published a few years ago, that patients who lost response to biological therapy, secondary loss of response, they actually asked for something else. So we gave them the diet, and we can see that 62% of them achieved clinical remission after 6 weeks after had a failure with anti-TNF. And what it was more interesting, that more than 70% of them could continue with their drugs safely, meaning that
they recovered,
we kind of created
a responsiveness to the drugs.
Yes, exactly. So we kind of created a salvage therapy that helped them to continue with their medications.
I would never have expected that.
That's why I told you that diet plays an important role there. And also, it was replicated by the group from Spain just this year. And the same small numbers, but still they showed the same 60% remission rate after a secondary loss of response.
That is biologically fascinating. Tell us, do you have you started to investigate how this happens, why this happens?
Unfortunately, we don't have yet evidence for why. I can assume that two things. First of all, we reduce the burden of inflammation. So I guess we reduce the amount of TNF that is there, and then it's easier for the medications to follow.
Yes, that makes good sense.
In addition, patients, some cases, have lost their protein in feces. And the same you can see with reduction in albumin, right? So if patients has low albumin, and we can see studies that shows that anti-TNF works less than...
efficiently with hypoalbuminemia.
Exactly. So if we improved their nutritional status and improved the albumin levels by taking care of the diet, it will probably increase the way that the anti-TNF could work.
That's all fitting together beautifully. The jigsaw puzzle is starting to take shape. I can see a picture. Yeah.
And another point that we should take into consideration is when patients are on clinical remission, but still has some elevated calprotectin or stuff like that. And then there was a group from Argentina that just published a study when it was a pilot RCT when they gave those patients on anti-TNF or biological therapy. It wasn't only anti-TNF. And they were in clinical remission, and they gave them, but with the biochemical activity, elevated calprotectin, and they gave them either the CDD or regular diet, and they showed that it reduced the patients who followed the CDD and the reduction in calprotectin compared to those who followed a regular diet. So still, it shows us that there is a role for diet, even if patients are in clinical remission, but we want still to reduce the inflammation. And I would say another point regarding...
Wait, another point. I'm trying to count the points. Go on.
Oh, sorry. Another study that we showed you different approach on the same strategy, meaning that patients on biologics under remission, and we did a cross-sectional study and found that patients who were more adhered to a Mediterranean diet had a lower calprotectin levels. So again, we are going back to the idea that diet plays a role in any case.
So we want
them to follow a healthy diet as much as possible.
How are you tracking these studies, tracking your patients, tracking the composition of the flora within their bowels using microbiome analyses?
The microbiome is very important. In each of our studies, we analyzed the result of the microbiome. In the pivotal study that you mentioned earlier, what we did, we took patients who received 6 weeks of exclusive enteral nutrition compared to those who followed the CDED for 6 weeks. And after 6 weeks, we saw very interesting result. And surprisingly result, because in the CDD we are providing fiber. So we assumed that we will improve the microbiome better.
But shifted the microbiome.
Shifted the microbiome better. But what we saw that it was the same, it caused the same effect, a reduction in proteobacteria and increased bacteroids. But what was more interesting to see is what happened after another 6 weeks.
Okay.
Because the group who had previously on exclusive enteral nutrition, they went to partial enteral nutrition with free diet, meaning they could eat whatever they like. The other group, the CDD group, continue with the phase 2 diet with partial enteral nutrition, meaning they still were on restrictive diet. And what happened there? You can see that in the CDD group, the microbiome continued to have the same shift that we aim for. Reduction in proteobacteria, and they kept improved with the microbiome. However, the EEN group, which went back to free diet, had a rebound in their microbiome back to the beginning, showing us that when we are introducing foods again, we still see that all the effect that found by improving the inflammation, reducing the inflammation, which is probably what we can explain what happened after 6 weeks, it just vanished and everything went back to what happened again. And what was interesting again is that it was integrated with inflammation, because we can see that the same effect caused with calprotectin levels. In the CDD group, we can see that
And then they rebounded.
In the EEN group, they failed and rebounded. And the CDD, they continue to have the same approach of reduction.
What about clinical symptoms? What about the patient's sense of well-being?
Very interesting that you are asking, because we saw it the same with clinical effect. And we showed that in patients with the CDD continue to have the reduction in clinical inflammation. However, those who were in the EEN group, the inflammation went back up and it was clinical significant at week 12. So it was surprising, but very...
It surely does nail down your claim as true that diet makes the difference. Diet makes the difference. And with that, I think we've run out of time. We haven't touched all the things that you could possibly tell us and all the advances that these studies represent. But time being what it is, it's gone. And we now have to ask you, what song have you brought for us to hear? What's its name?
The name of the song is Hurricane. It was now in the Eurovision representing Israel, and it was a very exciting song.
It's just really
close to
our
heart. Yes, the Hurricane song.
Okay.
It is very exciting, and invite you all to hear it.
If you would like to listen to the song, check out our Spotify playlist, Espigan's Favorite Songs.
Thank you for bringing it. Thank you for sharing it. And thank you for sharing your insights, your knowledge, and your experience. We're grateful to you.
Thank you very much for being here. I enjoyed it very much.